Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I still remember the day when my son was about 2 years old and he came up to me and he said, "Mom, where did my blessing go?" It obviously got me thinking for a minute. I wondered, did he feel unloved? Did he do something bad that he was preemptively apologizing for? And then I realized the day before he asked this question happened to be Ash Wednesday, the day that he had gone up to the front of the church and gotten the sign of the cross in ashes on his forehead. Stellan had remembered this, that the day before those ashes were made in a cross on his forehead, and he wondered where they'd gone the next day. He just simply couldn't see that cross. This past year has been a year where I think collectively people across our nation especially have been asking this question, where did our blessing go? The political division and most recently violence, the pandemic, the racial injustice, the natural disasters, and on, where did our blessing go? Why has life become so hard? We know we're church people, we know that God loves us, and we love one another, and we know that deeper than anything, that is our identity in the world. But somehow, we're living in a way that makes us question our very existence, our identity, our belonging, and even God's blessing in our lives. And when we question our existence, our identity, our belonging, our blessing, life as God hopes it will be quickly disappears. When I first left home after high school, I think I got a glimpse of this. I lived in a very secure and stable home, and I loved my family, and they loved me so very much. But when I went away, it seemed like I felt really inadequate about life. So much of my security was gone. I remember feeling less confident in myself and like, how was I going to make it through? And so I became discouraged and tried to seek my identity in other ways. I searched for areas of expertise or social skills or accomplishments that would help me feel better about myself. I kept seeking more and more things, and I realized that none of them did the trick. None of them made me feel better. But it was then, as I was constantly wondering about my place in this world, that I returned home from school and over a school break, and my dad simply said to me as I came in the door, "Beck, you know, it's just not the same without you here." In so many words, it was the blessing I needed to rest in, knowing I was loved simply for who I was and not for what I did or did not do, but simply because I was part of the family, a necessary part of the family. Today we celebrate Baptism of Our Lord Sunday. We witness Jesus' baptism by John at the River Jordan, and we can't help but recall our own baptisms as well. And I think this year, more than any other in years past, it makes me wonder, do we really think about what our baptismal blessing means for us in our daily lives as Christian people? Do we really think about what baptism does for us in our lives as followers of Jesus? When I was a child, my grandfather made this crude, simple candle holder for every one of the kids in my family, my mom, or my sister, my brother, and me, and I'm guessing my cousins as well. It had a little baptismal plaque, it had our baptism date, and it had our names written on them. And in this little holder, we put a candle. We probably put our baptismal candle, but on the actual day of our baptism birthday, we'd put this candle with the different numbers that we'd burn down for a year at a time as we ate a special dinner and remembered that day in our lives. And it wasn't the one-day deal of baptism that was an important thing as we celebrated our baptism anniversaries. It was really affirming the reality that we were baptized, that we were welcomed into a home, and that we belonged to someone and to a God bigger than ourselves. My grandparents and parents, who loved me deeply, emphasized this great blessing in my life. They were always proud of accomplishments, sure, of new things I learned, of family and friends and new friendships that I'd bring into my life, but those were not the things that they emphasized as bringing the greatest worth. The fact was hammered into us in our lives that nothing is more important, no gift is more important than another, nor will bring any more peace than the gift that you've been given at baptism. And even with this constant reminder, I still found myself running in circles about how worthy I might be in this world. It is so easy to compare ourselves to one another as we live our lives. It is so easy to wonder in our comparisons, where did my blessing go? Well, water is a good reminder of baptism. From the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night, water surrounds us. We take our showers with water. We brush our teeth with it. We make our coffee with it. We have fun. We swim in it. We play in the snow these days. We ski. We skate. We build snow forts. Water can be lots of fun. It can be good, but it can be harsh as well. Water washes us clean, but it can also drown. It gives us a fresh start, but it also takes away those things that are broken and old, washes those away. There is nothing quite like a shower after a week-long hike in the wilderness or a tall glass of water after a workout. Water refreshes, it brings hope, it restores us, it equalizes us. And baptism is water, but it's not water only. It's water used together with God's word. As one of my seminary professors, Jim Nestingen, writes in his confirmation book, Free to Be, he says this: if you are a miracle, your baptism is a bigger one. It looks so ordinary. Some parents, some sponsors, and a pastor gathered around a bowl to say a few words and splash some water on a baby who either sleeps or screams, unaware of what's happening. Who'd ever guess that there is anything earth-shaking or miraculous about that? But it's just like the God of the promise to hold the most miraculous event and to hide the most miraculous event in a simple ceremony. Baptism is a miracle greater than anything we can imagine. And in today's gospel, the heavens open wide. We see the Holy Spirit come down as a dove. And we hear a voice from heaven proclaim these words: "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased." There is power in words. I'm sure you've been in conversations where you've either fallen asleep or you've put someone to sleep. Sometimes our words fall flat. Sometimes they are almost dead. But there are also words that are full of life. When you hear the words, "I love you," when I hear my kids running around the house singing, "Ready or not, here I come," or when you hear words from a parent saying things like, "Becca, you know, it's just not the same around here without you." Those are words that rejuvenate you. Those are words that bring life. Those are words that get you moving. Words like this make us realize that there is life around us, that life is worth living, and that life can actually be fun. These are the words we hear in baptism. They're God's words that bring life. And yet, though baptism does something in our lives, it doesn't depend on us to work. It has nothing to do with how worthy we are, how serious we are, how well-intentioned we are as parents or sponsors, how baptism happens, if it's as an infant or as an adult. None of this matters, because baptism is God's work, and we are simply the blessed recipients. As we hear about the baptism of Jesus, we could say it's the beginning of his ministry, because we hear in each of the synoptic gospels all of the things that happen after this baptism takes place. Jesus' calling at baptism is crucial for us as we live our own lives, called by God to be God's people in this world. Because first and foremost, it models that our calling is not so much about what we do or even what Jesus does in that moment, but it's about being named and claimed by God as beloved and well-pleased. It's not a call to do, it's a call that names. As I've already mentioned, sometimes I catch myself being overly concerned about making a good impression, because some people seem to make us feel that we have to do something special to impress them, or to prove ourselves, or to exert our power to become worthy. But there are other people in our lives who let us know that they're already impressed with us, even when we don't feel very good about ourselves. Good friends, good relationships of any kind are like that. You don't have to be someone you're not to impress in relationships like this. You don't have to exert power over someone else in relationships like this. You can relax, you can be yourself without worrying what they think of you. When I think of life in the church, the same things come into play. Sometimes we do it inadvertently. How often do we expect things of people? How often are we asking people to prove themselves to be worthy of our love, or of God's love for that matter? Or on the flip side, how often do we feel that we need to impress one another when it comes to worship, or when we run into people on the street that think that we are good church people? How often do we feel like we need to prove ourselves as worthy, baptized Christians? When we start thinking this way, we know it's draining, and we start living tired lives. In order to be pleasing, you might do what I was doing after high school. Try to find something that you've accomplished. Find a possession or a new skill to hang your worthiness on. If these don't work, you might pull out something else that you think will impress others or help to exert power over others. And if one of these things does start to work, then you start trusting in that thing, that condition in life, to bring you hope. To bring you hope to your friendship and to bring you peace. And you start tying this condition of worthiness to what you do. In baptism, when we feel that we have to do something to be worthy again, we are putting human conditions on a sacrament that is totally unconditional, totally dependent on God's unconditional love for us. We never need to prove ourselves to God that we are lovable. When we start believing that it's our own trust that gets us to God, or it's our own faith that gets us to God, or that we deserve something because we believe, we're putting trust in ourselves and not in God. We're putting faith in ourselves in what we are doing, not in what God has already done for us in Jesus. God invites us to simply trust, to trust and receive God's words of blessing. The blessing connected to baptism that doesn't make us more sacred or more holy, but simply acknowledges that we are indeed sacred and holy, and God loves us and wants us to do good in this world. Today we celebrate baptism of our Lord Sunday, and as it was for Jesus this day of his baptism, so it is for us. Our first calling, our baptismal calling, is the one that names and claims us. You are my child. With you I am well pleased. No strings, no conditions, no works attached. So where did my blessing go? My son Stellan asked this question the day after Ash Wednesday, but really it's a question we may ask ourselves every single day. So as I told Stellan that day, I tell all of you now, know that your blessing has never gone away and will never leave you. For in the midst of this crazy, anxious, competitive, and even violent world, God's claim on you will always come first and last. Your identity, your belonging, your hope is in Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross for you. And this promise is made known in the waters of baptism. For in baptism, God names you and claims you and never, ever lets you go. Thanks be to God. Amen.